Gary Davis. I'm the medical director at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital.
We're going to be talking about vaccinations and flu vaccinations, which is something we cover a lot every year. But perhaps the angle we don't necessarily cover is for healthcare staff to get vaccinated as well. How important is it that healthcare staff working in medical situations get their vaccinations?
I mean, as a whole, it's very important that all of our staff get their vaccinations, because it protects not only themselves, but also their families, as well as their patients, which is really, really key, because we get exposed to a lot of viruses working in hospitals. And, you know, the risk of taking them home to your loved ones who might be more vulnerable than yourself is really key and makes a massive difference.
Is there a blanket rule on all NHS staff getting the vaccination, or do you leave it up to individual choice?
Absolutely up to individual choice. It's up to individuals whether they want it. I mean, we give them the facts. We use data from the Southern Hemisphere. Australia has had a big flu season this year, and it's affected a lot of their staff and made it very difficult for them to staff their hospitals during the peaks of the virus season. They've had a triple whammy with both flu, RSV and COVID, but it's been flu that's been by far and away the biggest numbers that have led to people being off work and unable to go into work and treat patients.
What jabs are available to NHS staff? Is it the same that we're being offered to general public, or do they have extra protection?
All of our staff will be eligible for flu vaccines, and this has already started. This started earlier this month. In the wider population, it's really only those over the age of 65 or those under the age of 65 in particular conditions, care home residents and carers, and those that are, you know, carers and close contacts of immunosuppressed. So, you know, our staff get an opportunity to have the flu vaccine really because of where they work.
What precautions are you taking? I've seen before that some wards you've mandated masks when perhaps other hospitals haven't. What's the situation at the hospital as we head into winter? And what kinds of things are you seeing at the moment that might cause you a problem?
So currently, we don't have masks on the wards as a routine. All of our staff are very, very happy for them to wear masks if they feel for their own well-being that they want to wear them, but we're not mandating it at the moment. We do always keep that under review, because if we have patients with significant illnesses, or we have large influxes of flu or COVID, then we can change that so that we can make those wards masks only. We also look at how many of our staff are off on sick leave because of viruses. And if it's increasing, then we again might introduce masks in some or all areas to try and protect our staff from being off sick and being able to be at work and care for patients. So we'll keep all of those under review.
We cover South West London and Surrey. Are your hospitals more likely to see different kind of issues as we approach the busier period than others might, depending on population?
Yes, London has a lot more of a dense population than some areas when you go down into Surrey. But I think all hospitals are suffering from this each year. So we have a lot of people coming to London, particularly to the museums around us, to the Natural History Museum, Science Museum, V&A. So there is an increase in the number of people coming into our part of the capital. And therefore, the denser the population of people, the more likely to spread viruses around, I suppose.
And there are ways that the population can help our hospitals, aren't there? What's the things that we can be doing to keep ourselves healthy, but also critically out of A&E in places like that?
So I think the first thing is, as you said at the very beginning, anybody who is eligible for a flu jab to have the flu jab. That's by far and away the thing that's going to make the biggest difference. I always say to patients when they come in with flu and they say, "I didn't realise flu was like this." I think when you truly have had flu, you realize that flu is not a cold. It's a much more serious illness. It makes you feel significantly worse. So I think getting your flu jab is by far and away number one. I think the second one is keeping people out of the emergency departments and out of the UTCs as much as possible. Pharmacy First, excellent clinicians who have really good training. Our pharmacists can treat a lot of illnesses without people having to go to emergency departments. Sore throats, earaches, many types of infections they can treat in the pharmacy. So, please use your pharmacies first. And the second one is that if you're after medical advice, don't just turn up at A&E unless it's absolutely critical. Call 111, they'll give you some really good advice. And then if they feel that you need to go into a hospital, they can help to make that a smoother transition. And really, that means leaving 999 and the ambulance services to the really sick people who really need to use ambulances, because it puts an incredible strain on their ambulance service.
Getting the flu jab versus to perhaps not getting it, how much more protection does it give you against catching flu? Or is it just that it will reduce the effects of flu?
Yeah, I mean, it does reduce your chances of getting or getting symptomatic from flu. You can't be stopped from actually being exposed to it because other people are the carriers of the flu. But it reduces the symptom burden. It reduces the risk of hospitalization. And, unfortunately, there is some mortality that is associated with flu, and it reduces that as well.
Lovely. And just my final question, have you got any different advice that you're going to be offering people coming to the hospital? Because we know resident doctors are going on strike. Is that going to change the way you operate? And should people be looking at using the hospital differently during that time if the strike does go ahead?
I think my advice to patients throughout is to use what is available. So this is the whole year round, but to use, as I said, the pharmacies, to use 111. But I think if people need to our services and they come to the hospital, we will look after them, just the same as we do throughout the rest of the year. So irrespective of whether there's a resident doctor strike or not.